What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Positivity Spartans. This is episode 41. I'm your boy, the legendary Hub, back again with another episode with my co-host, as always, my boy Marcellus Majestic James and Eric, the troublemaker Lane. What's up, fellas? That's freshly deemed, y'all. Just in case y'all not tracking, that's freshly deemed. Today we are joined by two special guests, one being Kenneth. Could you say your last name?
Kumeta.
Kenneth Kumeta, born in Cameroon, moved to America in 2009. He has lived in Maryland and worked as a pharmacist, attended UMass for undergrad and LCOM for pharmacy school. And then as well, we have another special guest, a friend of Eric's, James. James, could you go ahead and introduce yourself to the crowd?
Hey, what's going on? James Aganola. Pleased to be on the show.
Appreciate you coming to the show, fellas. I appreciate it. I just want to thank y'all from the rip.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And today, as you can tell, we are with two certified individuals in the medical field. So we're talking a little bit about COVID and sickness and things like that. Taking care of your body, because, you know, health is wealth. It was Mahatma Gandhi who said, it is health that is real wealth and not pieces of gold and silver. That man, Mahatma, was about it, man. I don't know about y'all, but he's one of my, like, favorite people. Like, I don't even know how else to describe that.
I'm a chill on how I feel about
that. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Nah, we're gonna explore that conversation offline, because, you know, I like to talk about shit like that. Anyway.
Yeah. But Buddy was living a double life over there, you know, but... You know, he was a great attorney. Right,
we'll take that. I ain't mad at it.
I ain't even gonna lie. I have no idea what that is. I know about him, but like I have no idea what he.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig. So the only reason why I really know about him is I had to do an essay about him in high school, and then from there all I read was whatever was on the internet. Took them and put them in some notes. Seemed like a cool dude to me.
Well, the troublemaker says else.
Right. Controversy.
Bro, y'all know I look at things from different angle, man. And once I bring things to light, y'all be like, damn, Lane is actually right most of the time.
For sure. Your opinion is always valued, my brother. Jeez. Always valued. Always valued. Which leads us into our, I guess, our topic of the day, which would be... COVID and the COVID vaccine. Marcellus, so you've taken the vaccine, correct?
Sure did.
How you feeling, man?
So I took the Moderna vaccine, which is two vaccines that you get. The first one, it didn't hurt to go in, but then the next day my arm was like really sore. But the following day my arm was fine, so. And then I'm hearing you have more reaction from the second for the booster, but I haven't got mine yet. I get it like next week.
What is it, every 21 days?
You're supposed to get it pretty much 4 weeks after the first one, no more than 7 days beyond that 4 week period.
Yeah. Okay. And really, so basically no other side effects. And you haven't caught COVID at all this year, right?
Nope.
See, you're lucky, man. I had caught like a mild case of COVID this year. It was like, I'm going to tell you, last year, let me start with this. Last year, I got really sick around this time. And it was basically all the symptoms of COVID before COVID was like labeled COVID. But this year, man, I lost my smell and my sense of taste. And I will tell y'all what, that is one of the weirdest feelings ever. Like, I don't really know how to explain it. It's just, you can breathe through your nose, you just can't smell anything. Yeah, like I was telling the guys, like I was trying to cook a pizza. And like a lot, I forgot about it for a little bit and I couldn't smell it. And you know, it almost burnt. And I was like, wow, like it is that serious. I was cleaning and I started to get a little dizzy from the Clorox and whatnot. I was like, wait a minute. It was real different, man. So to anybody out there who catches it, I don't wish it on nobody. Wishing y'all catch a speedy recovery, and we get rid of this soon enough. Now, guys, y'all being pharmacists, have y'all Like, what's the climate like in your profession?
I'd say, I actually had COVID, so but like ooh. I'd say my symptoms weren't as bad because I'll credit that to the flu shot. Because I think I got the flu shot like in August, so like, by the time I got COVID, my symptoms weren't as bad because my friend actually got it from me, and his symptoms, like my roommate got it, and his symptoms were really, really bad. So, but I lost my taste and smell for sure. I couldn't smell nothing for 2 weeks, and after taking the vaccine, I mean, even at work, a lot of pharmacists are like actually willing to take the vaccine, and a lot more people that have gotten COVID are like, yeah, let me get this vaccine because I don't think anybody wants to, you know, go through all that again.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a
thing of like people calling and like, oh, can I get the vaccine? But then it's a thing too where, you know, they can't let everybody get it at the same time. So yeah, it's like just having to talk to people and explain to them why it's available, but they still can't get it. That's like one of the things that we're facing right now.
Are they doing a tier system for you guys too?
So for the company I work for, they had a program from the government. So then they released like a couple of nursing homes, so like assisted living for us to go through. And then they do that whole, I think, 1A, 1B thing, where it's like people are about 75, 65. So they drop it like every 2 weeks. So that's like, that's like the hardest part, trying to explain to like this is a 45-year-old woman who will come to the pharmacy to get it. I can give it to her. But then if you're 75 and you show up, and if it's at a nursing home, I can give it to everyone at the nursing home, even the people that work there. But you can't give it to a relative that's coming in to get it. So it's mad confusing.
Yeah, that definitely sounds confusing. Even sitting here, I'm just like wait. Yeah. That's great. And now, so James, you're a combat medic in the military. Yes, and so what's it like for y'all, man? Because, you know, I'm a veteran now, so I don't really know what's going on the lines.
Right. So here where I'm at, we're pretty much on the front lines of it. You know, we get the vaccine, okay. And actually been just recently, I've been put in the role that I'm pretty much doing everything. So we get the vaccine, you know, obviously we get the count, make sure that the count is right. We take it out of the cooler and then we kind of just defrost it to a lower temperature. Like I said, I just got into this position, so I'm not really sure of the exact temperature that it was and then where it is now. But we take it out and then, you know, we start drawing up the vials. And then from when we start drawing it up, we have 6 hours until we have to administer it. So right now we're doing, you know, pretty much beneficiaries. And like Kendrick just said, originally it was beneficiaries of 75 and older, but now CDC just dropped it down to 65, or we just dropped it down to 65. So now they can come in and, you know, get administered the vaccine. I personally haven't had COVID yet. Obviously, I don't plan on having it. I didn't get the vaccine just for my, you know, personal reasons, that, you know, pertaining to my lifestyle. Because growing up, I've really never been sick. The only time that I've had any type of illness was I got strep throat, and that was it. Pretty healthy. My lifestyle has been healthy. I take care of my body and stuff like that. But also been exposed to people that have similar stories that have contacted the virus. So it's something that, you know, we're still doing research on. You know, all the major pharmaceutical companies and healthcare, you know, aficionados, they're doing their research on there and trying to actually see, you know, what's the best way to actually attack this virus.
Right.
So what we're administering right now, we're administering the Pfizer. And, you know, the Pfizer comes with the initial shot or the initial dose and then the booster 17 to 21 days later. And I guess the initial symptoms for the first dose is just soreness on the site of injection. And that's normally probably when you wake up in the morning or the day after. And it doesn't last too long.
Yeah.
But the second dose has a little bit more symptoms. No, you still have that initial soreness. You know, you have fever, chills, you have body aches. And that's only being experienced with about one-third of the people that are actually getting the second dose. So it's not too common for most people. But obviously, if you have the opportunity, I always suggest you get the vaccine, especially if you you've been exposed to it, or you know, you just don't feel comfortable without having it.
Right. That was going to be my next question. Do you guys recommend people take the vaccine? Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I'd say if you've had COVID, let's say I'm a pharmacist, mm-hmm. but I have mixed feelings about it, but I still took it. Mm-hmm. So it's still
okay.
At this point, I feel like it's a personal call. It's like, and the reason why I took it is because I feel like I've always been taking like the flu vaccines and the pneumonia vaccine. Like,
right.
Like if I've already started, you know, giving myself that kind of immunity, why not just go ahead and take this other one? But if I was someone that had never gotten the flu vaccine or any other kind of immunization, then I'd say, okay, well, why take this one now? But then, so it's just it's a judgment call. And plus, I had COVID, so I was like, I don't want to go through this again.
Right, right. I agree. I mean, I definitely don't want to go through COVID again, even if I had them same symptoms, because I didn't really get too sick, but even just losing taste and smell, I wasn't with it.
Yeah, and like the side of, for me, because I took the Pfizer one, the first dose, I actually had more of a reaction from the first one than the second one, because the first dose, I had an immediate headache.
Mm.
But then the second dose, the only side effect I had was like my arm was just like sore for like 2 days, and that was it. So
right.
it kind of depends on the person too. I don't know. But.
So Marcellus, yours kind of coincides with what James said. The symptoms were how you just kind of had soreness at the injection site.
Yeah, but it was, you remember getting the anthrax shot?
Yes.
It was a little more painful than that.
Gotcha.
Like, I couldn't even sleep on that arm the following day. Like I woke up in the middle of my sleep like, whoa. Yeah. Like somebody beat me up.
You know, I can dig that. It's definitely a strange time, man. You have the conspiracy theories and all that other stuff. Where ultimately, man, we're just trying to get rid of this mess.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to get rid of it.
Yeah. Very true.
But we're going to learn to live with it and right. You know, mm-hmm. get back to normal living standards.
Right. Yeah.
But it's here. And it's not going anywhere. That's what people have to understand.
Yeah, I mean,
how do y'all feel? What are the regulations like where you're at, James, as far as masks?
Of course, you already know that's 100% enforced. Even how it is now, because it's getting so rapid, where I am right now, there's actually a new strain that's been, I guess, I won't say introduced, but it's now here. This strain that's from South Africa. And since we got word of that, they wanted to enforce like masks, like wearing a mask all the time. Like even if you're in your office and you have someone else in there, they expect you to wear a mask. Obviously, continue keeping that 6 feet. You know, sanitize. I prefer washing my hands rather than sanitizing. But obviously, if you can't wash your hands, sanitize when possible. And then, you know, just being being safe. Honestly, like if you feel like you have symptoms, go ahead and. You know, contact somebody or, you know, contact your doctor, or your healthcare provider, and try to see exactly what's going on. Because, for example, just because you get tested today and you come out negative does not mean that you do not have COVID. Because that's just like an initial reaction. A couple of days later, you can actually develop COVID. I've seen a lot of that with the people that I treat, the people that I'm around, that like, let's say they come in on Monday and then they get tested and then, you know, their symptom, they start getting aggressive symptoms and they come in again. They're like, oh, they got COVID. So it's something that like we're still doing research. So we're trying to, we don't have a definitive answer, but we're trying to do as much research as possible. And, you know, the best bet that the guidelines that I'm getting, especially from CDC, is that, you know, they want everybody to get vaccinated because we think that's the best chance of fighting the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bami, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So, since you just said like CDC wants everybody to get vaccinated, because of course that'll help, you know, get rid of the vaccine. But just from your professional point of view, right? Do you think the way they rolled out the vaccination is going to help? Like, the way they packaged, my thing is the way they made the vaccines and the packaging. Do you think that's going to help get rid of this vaccine? Like, I mean, like, do you think it's effective? Because I feel like they could have been more effective if they really, really wanted to get rid of this. Because let's just say the like how we have to reconstitute the vaccines, pull out normochillin and mix it with the regular vaccine.
Right, right, right.
That right there is really room for error. Like, there are some people that are going to get a stronger dose, some people are going to get a weaker dose.
Exactly.
So I'm saying, so then it's like, are we really trying to get rid of this vaccine, or are we like, is there something else that would that you know that's going on? Because let's just say the flu vaccine, it comes in a prefilled syringe. You just, you know, you just tie a needle to it, stick it in someone's arm. The dose is standard across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But now for this vaccine, it's not going to be standard. So some people are going to be getting stronger, some are getting less. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's
kind of why. I just, sorry, go ahead.
No, good, good. Because that's something I actually that's something I actually asked. I'm like, not because obviously we get the standard for Pfizer, we get the standard 0.3 milliliters for that. I think the so we get that, and then obviously you have to mix it with normal saline. So, I mean, we're humans. We're prone to error. So, of course, not everybody's going to get the same amount of normal saline diluted inside that 0.3.
Right.
So, I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky. I mean, that's part of the reason why I haven't gotten it.
I just wanted to shut me up.
That's a great question, because I mean I didn't even have the knowledge to even ask a question like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely a great question. I appreciate you asking that, because that's very interesting. So it's basically on the handler's care. You know what I mean? How fast the dosage can get to wherever it needs to get to be administered. You know what I mean? That's imperative, huh? Mm-hmm.
So like it's a lot that good. I mean, just for, but once I saw the packaging of the vaccine and I saw how we have to administer it and everything, I was just like, well, this is another game.
Okay.
Well, the whole thing, if you think about it, the whole thing was rushed. Usually a vaccine takes, I believe, 2 to 3 years to be created when it comes to that. And then they still have to get FDA approval on top of that.
Right.
And they did a whole bunch of bypassing of normal rules just because this is a worldwide pandemic. So what we are right now is pretty much guinea pigs. That's why they're letting people voluntarily do it. I think there's a rumor going out that like military personnel have to take that's it, false. And that's false. It's voluntary for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure most jobs are making it voluntary. I can't speak for all jobs, but I can speak for, you know, me personally, I voluntarily took it.
Yeah.
It's just because it's rushed, there's a lot of room for error. And I think that's what people are kind of scared of. But they're just trying to get us back, again, like I said, to some form of normalcy where we don't have to wear a mask and, you know, we can go travel again and have family gatherings and stuff like that without having to worry about someone dying.
That being said, after experiencing this global pandemic that we're in and we go back to quote-unquote normal, would you still not practice, you know, social distancing, wearing a mask and, you know, sanitizing, washing hands and doing all the stuff that honestly that we should have been doing before COVID?
Yeah.
Well, as far as like the social distancing portion, probably not. the washing the hands, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But again, like at some point we're not going to stay like this forever. You know, like even if you look at countries that have large endemic, like China, for instance, they wear masks and they have higher hygiene practices because they know it's easier for things to spread around where they are. But yeah, I just think we'll reach some, because we're gonna reach herd immunity at some point too. Like it's kind of, I don't want to compare it to the flu, but we're kind of gonna get close to comparing it to the flu at some point.
Right.
Just how. Once everyone has had it or everyone's been vaccinated, the amount of cases are going to drastically drop. Do you think
the vaccine is going to be a yearly thing now?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Like a flu shot.
That's what I thought.
Either yearly or seasonal.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see it. Because, I mean, it's evident that the numbers increase during a certain time of year.
Well, the holidays, because everyone just said, I'm not going to do it.
Right. Right. It's tough, man. It's tough.
on my post, I work at the, we call it the COVID clinic. So my community health nurses, they do like all the testing and we do vaccinations in like a different time period, mm-hmm. a different facility. But we saw our numbers triple during the holiday block leave.
Yeah.
Just because people were just mm-hmm. at home and not wearing masks and not doing all the extra precautions that we set forth. So,
Blaine, so you and AOC, right? So, are the protocols different for school now?
So, right now they're not doing any physical fitness exams. They're not doing height and weight. And you have to arrive to school 2 weeks prior to quarantine before class begins. I'm in the ALC and reserve course, and I actually have a roommate, which is shocking, you know, because we were separated during quarantine, and then once we started class, they were like, well, you guys are going to be intertwined and, you know, have roommates. So, I don't know, man. It just makes me wonder, like, you know, are they actually taking care of us in the military, you know, trying to make sure we're safe? Because I mean, James works at a trade-off post, and I'm pretty certain they're still going to the field and, you know, staying out there as well. So it's like, at what point do you compromise safety just for the benefit of the mission? And I totally understand it's the military. We got to be able to adapt and conform and, you know, be able to pick up and fight wherever we go. But honestly, I feel like I'm exposing my family, believe it or not. That's how I feel every day I go to work.
Right. Yeah, and that's a big thing. I think that's how most people feel, even in the medical field on the civilian side. Kenneth, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You guys have that worry because you deal with so many people throughout the day who may have been exposed to it. Yeah. I mean, you worry about taking that
for even home. Like going to the nursing homes. Like people, they're sending to a floor. Like they send you to a floor, like a COVID floor, and I'm just like, do y'all know I gotta leave? Well, I mean, I look at the nurses that, and they just walk in there with your regular clothes. I'm like, y'all supposed to be wearing all types of masks and gowns. But it's just thinking about right. that, leaving that, and bringing that home. So that's when I come home, like, you know, strip down the door, go inside and shower. But after a while, I guess you get used to it and you forget. But yeah,
it's
right.
We know a lot of people don't necessarily care for the COVID. I had numerous conversations with people, black people to be exact, and they brought up the Tuskegee experiment and how they feel that we're being used as guinea pigs right now. You know, a lot of black people don't have trust or faith within the medical system because, you know, if you look back at history, they've done a disservice to us over the years. I mean, just look at women now. I consider it a blessing for a black woman to come out of a childbirth alive. You know, it's just small things and different factors you have to weigh, because me personally, I don't really have faith in the medical system. I'm not really a fan of vaccinations at all. So it's something I have to consider.
The fact that you said that, when I used to work for another company, they used to call us and like hound us about giving like flu shots. And I noticed it, like, for the 2 years that I worked during the flu season, the numbers kept dropping. And once the numbers of the flu shots are dropping, the flu medications, Tamiflu, we started dispensing those less and less and less. So to me, I was like, okay, all of a sudden now that, you know, I guess we're getting rid of the flu, all of a sudden now this new virus comes out that we got to start vaccinating all over again. And now it's a whole new vaccine. And then they're not even worried about the flu shot right now. Like, nobody's worried about, no company exec is worried about calling people and how they give flu shots. They're worried about the COVID vaccine. And then now, once they figure out the medication to give for the COVID vaccine, it's going to be thinking once the fall hits, they just drop shipping to the pharmacy and then they start hounding pharmacists now to give the COVID vaccine. So it's like you have to meet a certain quota. If you don't meet that quota, then it's like you get then like a manager, they start getting on your nerves for stupid stuff. But then, so now it's like we then become sales people for vaccines, even if you don't believe in it, like even if you believe in it or not, you just have to sell it to the patient. That way corporate can get off your ass.
That's funny. I was about to ask you about that.
That's crazy to hear that.
So now, just seeing how everything's playing, I'm just like, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure by the time I get back behind the bench and it hits, let's say, August, September, probably there's going to be a medication for like COVID out already by then that's been approved by the FDA, and then they're just going to drop ship it to the pharmacy. I have friends that work in Texas that said when Trump started this whole thing about hydroxychloroquine, I mean, doctors were writing it like ass, just writing it. I mean, it was just a thing where the company made a lot of money and then they stopped. And then there's another clinic in another state, I'm not going to put them out there, that they had like their ER doctors writing ivermectin. Like for it's a medication for I think stomach worm. They're writing it for COVID, and then people started having like side effects to that medication. One of them is blood clots, and then they started putting them on blood clot meds. So I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So to me, it's just
that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's like a business thing in America. Yeah, and that's the bad thing about it, and that's what detracts people from it. And I think the whole point of us having this conversation today is just so people have that educational part of it, because at the end of the day, right now, it's optional, you know?
Yeah. So Kenny, I got a question, bro. As a medical professional, you kind of just expressing it. You didn't fully express it, but there are certain things that you're forced to do that you disagree with. So, like, what if there was something that you disagree with in regards to what's inside of the vaccine? Is there a way or like a chain of command in which you can express that? And secondly, what can you do as a medical professional to enlighten the Black community more on what exactly COVID is, and to make them more less apprehensive and actually want to get the vaccine?
Let's say there's something. If I know something wrong with the vaccine. In retail pharmacy, there's really, yes, there's someone you could talk to, but then at the end of the day, we all know it's BS. It's not going to go anywhere. Unless you, like, call FDA, but, like, you know, vaccines, they have, like, a side effect reporting system. So I guess you can go on there and, like, if you actually had a side effect, you could report it. Or if a patient complained about reacting to an ingredient in the vaccine, then that's where you go and report it. That way the FDA can then get it. But if it's if you can contact Pfizer itself or Moderna and tell them, like, you know, what's wrong with the vaccine, that's like as far as you can go. And then as far as like enlightening the community about like the vaccine, to be honest, the best way to do it is just pretty much just now with our generation, just social media videos and put stuff out there or like make flyers. But then again, to be able to do all that, you have to be sure that that way you're getting your information is accurate. And from doing biostats, I looked at the study that Pfizer put out for the vaccine, and I'm just gonna say I think it's BS. Mainly because they said they studied the vaccine in America and Germany, but we all know that they try us in some countries in Africa and South America. So now in biostats, there's external validity of a study. Like, how valid is that study now to everybody else that would get that medication? Like, if you did a study in Mexico, you can't take that study and bring it to, let's say, Australia and say, okay, it's going to work to these people in Australia. It's not. It may, but then you don't know it's going to work because you didn't test it there. So now for Pfizer to say they tested the vaccine in the US and Germany, but they tested it in other places, it's like you're lying about information. So, there's something that's not being put out. So then how do I then, you know, educate people on something that I'm not even sure is true? So that's why I was like, it's a personal call. If you want to say, you know, screw what I know, I'm just going to get the vaccine. Sure. If you want to, like, stick by your guns and studies and facts, then,
I think that's why the optional right now, because the validity is kind of skewed in a sense right now. Like, you know, the effectiveness, no one truly knows. And that's why, you know, if you take a vaccine and it has an adverse effect on your body, it's like the company or whatever company you're working for, the government, they're just like, well, this is optional. You decided to take it. We didn't make you take it.
Right. They can't sue them for it.
Yeah.
If the military's not making you take it, that means it's not valid. That's how I feel, honestly.
Do they make y'all take the flu shot, though?
Yeah, they make you take the flu shot.
Every year,
yeah, we get anthrax shots. It's like a series of them. Like I've been in the military like 6-7 years, and I probably had like 8 or 9 anthrax shots.
Oh wow! I don't think I
remember. Really?
Yeah, sorry, I never had it.
Yeah, I only had my 3, and that was it.
Well, you've been in certain places. outside the country that you had to take the shot again, right?
Right, that's true as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what I thought, because I was gonna think, damn, that's a hell of a lot of
that's a lot.
A hell of a lot of shots, yeah.
Man.
That's crazy, nah. But I definitely appreciate you guys coming in and dropping that knowledge, man. You know, because information is key. I think a lot of people don't want to take this vaccine because, you know, they don't know. And, you know, I mean, if people don't know, they're afraid of what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just being able to shed a little light, you know, having people who have taken the vaccine, you know, having professionals like yourselves, you know, be coming here and, you know, talk about the vaccine truthfully, feel like that gives people a little better judgment. So that way, like you said, they can make the best opinion. So I want to say thank y'all. Appreciate y'all for that knowledge, man.
All right, no problem.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we go, man, so what are some of y'all favorite artists, man? What kind of music y'all listen to?
African music.
Yeah, like you know, what's the
we need
what's
names and song
guy,
titles.
Give me some, how to call this African jam guy. What's his name? Burner Boy.
Da
Banj. Da Banj? Nah. Well, wait, Bami, I guess you live in Da Banj, but I'm not a fan of Da Banj. sorry.
I thought that's who he's about to say.
What was it? Ha, guy. What, 20 years ago? But
I like Wizkid, Burner.
Yeah, Burner. Yeah, Burner's my favorite. And then I just got hit to
Burner.
Pataran King. Pataran King is like one of my other favorite. But
okay, I have to check some of them out. What about you, James?
Honestly, I listen to everybody. To me, Future is the GOAT. I can argue with that.
That nigga James is toxic, bro. Like, if you look up the word toxic, you see his name used as an example. I promise.
I can't even front, man. Future, that dude, man. 2016, I seen the one time to be alive tour, him and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Goats, man. I ain't even mad at you. What about you, fellas? What y'all been bumping lately?
Man. I don't know, bro. I post everything.
I listen to anything.
Yeah.
Sixers just took that W.
Tell you what, man. Hey, shout out to the 76ers, man. Mm-hmm. Best team in the East. Best took out the Lakers the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not to get off track, but we're going to shout them out. That's my team.
Hey, we about to beat the Pacers, too.
I've been listening to Black Bear. I don't know if you guys ever hear
Black Bear,
but
I'm about to check them out.
It's a white dude, but he rap. He's pretty cool.
Got some soul.
Yeah, he sing a little on his tracks too, but he got some pretty cool music.
Bet. Let me tell y'all what, man. I've been listening to a lot of Frank Ocean lately. My man's highly underrated. Mm-hmm. Frank Ocean is that.
Actually, I don't know why he don't get his respect.
Yeah, man. Because
he don't put out content.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, you got Chandler Orange and Blonde, man. Just, if you haven't listened to Chandler Orange, whoever's listening, go ahead and check out Chandler Orange. Check out Pyramids and come back and holler at me. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, positivity, prosperity, peace.
Hey, I got one thing to say.
What up?
Don't do crap.
Just guys.